All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I've got a Twitter window open.
Ah, sorry about that.
Sorry, didn't mean to. I know you're off it, but there's an account that I, you know, I don't follow it, but sometimes I see it retweeted the SNL guests introducing the band. Yeah, the musical guest. Yeah. So the host introducing the guest, and sometimes you get real funny stuff. You know, Tom Selleck introducing Butthole Surfers or whatever, you know?
There's a joy to just like old actor saying.
Yeah. So I just figured we would spin the mouse wheel on this one. I'd play whatever one we got.
I have Twitter open because it's where I have the intro thread. And both in my window, both MILF Island and MILF Manor are trending.
MILF Island, like from 30 Rock?
Yeah, and MILF Manor, because there's Welcome to MILF Manor on TLC. 8 hot moms leave home for the chance to find love with men half their age, but they're greeted with a shocking twist. So they're literally doing MILF Island, but they're calling it MILF Manor. It's a Resident Evil kind of crossover. What a mansion, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope this is not MILF's blood.
But MILF's okay. Yeah. Nobody wants to be in this situation.
Yeah. You're almost a MILF sandwich.
They charge extra for that. Thank you for the tweet report. Yes, I'm just gonna give this a
Jamaica,
is that Adrian Brody? He's wearing like a Rasta hat. Oh, this is the one that got him banned. Oh, he's doing like a real bad Rastafarian. That's really embarrassing. Oof. Yeah. Oh, wait, the game machine. I said embarrassing Rastafarian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Sulik.
From
Fallout 2.
No, it's in good. Nope. I'm getting Corpse Killer on this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this game fucks. I'm way into this.
Yeah.
This made me laugh a lot. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, but we're watching you always.
Of course. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this week we're doing a Cole pick, and I brought us Corpse Killer. This is another game. I'm trying, struggling to find my window of tabs. It's another game by the Night Trap people. This is an FMV, light gun shooter.
It is, but it's a little bit, so like it's a light gun shooter. If you didn't make if the targets were figures, but they moved around like targets in point blank,
it's
a light gun shooter where you shoot the, Skeleton Realm.
Yes,
you do. The Peaceful Skeleton Realm.
You do shoot the Peaceful Skeleton Realm. The game that the play in this reminds me the most of is the Terminator 2 arcade game.
It's very similar to that, but I mean, in that game, a Terminator comes from the back of the screen. It's made of pixels and it walks towards you.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, like a Final Fantasy Tactics summon, an image of a zombie just kind of goes floats at you. Like every scene that is gameplay in this, like the cutscenes are obviously the big appeal of this.
Of course.
But everything that's gameplay looks like a monster, like an awesome monster party of assets. Like zombie assets just having a groove.
I mean, it just like what it looks like is a bunch of GIFs doing a dance party. Extremely low resolution digitized actors like on a web page as you scrolled past like a landscape. Yeah.
I love it. It's every time it happened and you'd pan across a village and there'd just be like, whoa, 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 like monster coming towards you. It would make me laugh. It's so good. And like the cutscenes, like the cheesy B movie cutscene stuff is fun as well to me. It is very offensive. You know, the Jamaica-tude is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Off the charts.
I figured, we can get away with this because we happen to have a black actor.
Yeah, like, Jeremiah Burkett said it was okay. We paid him to say it was okay, but it was okay.
Yeah,
you know,
wearing the Rasta hat that Homer bought at Lollapalooza.
He's been Safarian since before this game came out. Also, this reminded me of future adaptation Decay Star Game Over.
Yeah.
The 2003 yeah. movie.
I'm happy that you saw that because he has also
Bleeth. Yeah, it uses something like 25 minutes of footage from this game.
It's
that movie.
It's not just this game. It uses footage from across the Digital Pictures catalog.
Yeah, Maximum Surge, an unreleased game, Corpse Killer, Prize Fighter, Supreme Warrior, and Quarterback Attack with Mike Ditka.
Yep.
How are they squaring the circle with all of those plots?
So it's about like they're going into like, I think they're trying to solve a murder by going into a virtual reality network.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I think like a game designer got killed. So when a supercomputer is linked to a video game network, the computer programmer who designed the game must enter virtual reality world of his fantasies and defeat the computer before it causes worldwide chaos.
Love it. I get that on Adaptation Decay. I mean, we're doing a lot of these like video game and real life, non-direct adaptation things, but they're real fun and no one's ever seen them before. So it feels like discovering gold.
I love that they have Mike. They've got Mike Ditka like credited in this.
Yes.
What are the chances that they actually had Mike Ditka in to film additional stuff? Are they just crediting him because he was featured in the archival footage?
It's hard to say. So 2003, it's not like the height of Ditka's power.
He was doing like a little bit. Like he was brought in to star as himself in the Will Ferrell vehicle Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah, but he was in the star as himself period of his career.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, here there's a Ditka about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what, look out.
You know, run.
Seal the doors. You know, it was that period.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just them using a bunch of footage from this is very funny because I don't know. I guess, you know, waste not, want not.
Of course. Yeah.
It's an odd move.
If you have the rights, you have the rights.
Exactly. It's what I would do if I was forced to make a movie at gunpoint and I had to get to 90 minutes.
You know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All Digital Pictures is great because this is the company that did like, you know, Night Trap and Sewer Shark, of course, the ones everyone knows, and then they make My Video things. But then they end up doing things. This is the old, they did Kids on Sight. They did something called Slam City with Scottie Pippen. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, like, I know, Slam City.
I love the implied series of phone calls that happened where they were just going down the roster of the 95 Bulls.
Yeah. Like, they got a hit.
Like you're gonna try for Jordan just because, yep, you know, like, hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So we're gonna try it, but then just going down the roster
bargained down. You start at Jordan and you land on a Pippen.
Yeah.
That might be offensive to somebody basketball wise. I don't know. Like, I imagine Pippen's good. He can't out dunk me, but I imagine he's pretty good. Nobody out dunks.
I just
Butterfield.
I just know, I know Scottie Pippen because like when Jordan put out his shoes and they were real good, he put out his own shoes and they were real bad. It's just like, oh yeah, anybody can do this. Like,
we have Jordans at home. Like,
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I was just saying nobody outdunks Gary Butterfield, but in my head I also imagined a logo for nobody outdunks Gutfield. We're like the conservative comedy dick has people come on to try to out dunk him.
Yeah. And Or do you mean like dunk in the meta, like in the metaphorical sense? Like, oh, you really slammed him. Or do you mean literal basketball? Okay, on the court. Yeah.
Certainly on the court. Like they spend a little bit of time talking about the issues, like pronouns are bad. And then they go and they settle on the court.
He would obviously miss, right? Like he'd miss by like a fucking mile, and then he would try and blame it on how many women are in the crowd, you know?
Yeah. God took down his magic shield. that makes me dunk.
Greg Gutfeld no longer has the mandate of heaven.
The manifest destiny no longer is in favor of the gut field. Why does he make his logo like that?
Wait, Greg Gutfeld has a logo?
Yeah, there's a show, it's just called Gutfield.
Oh yeah.
And it's got a logo that's not unlike Garfield.
Oh god.
Like just a big exclamation point. It looks much more fun than I imagine that show could ever possibly be.
Oh, it's poison. Yeah.
Yeah, absolute poison.
Yeah, no, they're definitely doing a Garfield thing on that.
A weird pull.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do with Garfield.
I apologize for for maligning Scottie Pippen. That's it's what we got.
He's not the premier bull.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but digital. Yeah, these guys. Man, just they brought us kids on site. I love it.
Yeah, they just a lot of failures that cost a lot of money and aren't good games. I just like that they exist.
Yes.
Oh God. This one included.
Did Double Switch get? Yeah, that got a re-release. Okay, cool. So you can get Corey Haim. Sorry, I'm just looking.
So did this one. Yep. Like it's kind of interestingly, like you can get this, play this on the Switch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be a very good Switch game, but if you're a big fan, it comes with like 2 hours of archival footage, like behind the scenes footage or something like that.
So we should talk about the premise because that came out and it specifically had like in memoriam footage, for, yes, the director of this. And then also kind of the star, the villain here, character actor, Vincent Chiavelli. Yes. Who I recognize most from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But if you see this guy, like if you're picturing a schlubby, he's somehow simultaneously big, but also gaunt, just a sunken eyed Italian man.
He's the guy in Ghost, the movie Ghost,
yeah,
who sees Swayze.
Yes.
Who's like the crazy, you know, the derelict who could, because of derelict powers, can see Swayze's.
Yeah.
Just great, you know, great character actor.
Yeah,
like just like really arresting presence. He's good in this.
Oh yeah,
he's fun to watch in this.
Yeah, it's wonderful. He's this doctor who used to be working for the Pentagon, but he went rogue and he went to this Caribbean island and started doing zombie magic because he's researching ways to get eternal life, and he's assembling himself an army of the dead. Which also includes like members of the main character's unit. You play this Marine who para drops in, ends up stuck in a tree and gets bit in the leg. But fortunately you have Winston, who is your Rasta guide, and also this reporter named Julie to come along and help you and mostly, tell you did a good job in between missions.
They don't like each other for some reason.
Right.
It's unclear.
Yeah.
But immediately the very first thing that Winston says when you meet Julie is like implying that she has a sexual hold over you. And I cannot stress this enough. I am a floating gun. Like it is a light gun game. I am not playing a character at all and I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
But he's just like, she got the sex juju on you. I don't know what he says. Some kind of offensive bullshit. It's really over the top.
Yeah.
Like, and he's talking about zombies, like they're voodoo zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he comes in, he's positioned as an expert on zombies because he is Jamaican, which is no good.
But what you do the introduction and then you get like a mission select going to different places, trying to, go after members of your old unit. And what you got to do is like, I think you're given a choice. It's like, I didn't get this far when I replayed it this time, but it's like, you have to choose before you go into a mission. Do you like take the drink that will give you more health, or do you take like the special like Datura bullets that will turn your squad mate back human at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. interesting choice.
Yes.
Perhaps. The bad guy is named Hellman, which I really appreciate. They call it Hellman, but
yeah,
it's just for all the world, it's Hellman.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing, I really like a thing in Wikipedia said it best here, just a flash to the past, like quaintness. Mm-hmm. The Game Pro review for the Sega CD version: this frisky first-person blast-a-thon looks and feels like a bad live-action movie. I just think that's very sweet.
But your taste for bad just might bring this corpse to life. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay, Bruce Valanche.
What I was going to say about Hellman is that his glasses, his configuration of facial hair, and there's something about like his delivery and just over the topness on this. Like, if I was recasting this today, you absolutely get Eric Wareheim to do it.
Oh yeah. Like he's got some Wareheim. And Eric has that weird like Eric's a fat guy, mm-hmm. but he's also like 7 feet tall.
Yep.
You know, so like he's got that weird kind of presence.
Uh-huh.
That bigness.
Yeah.
What you want.
Yeah.
And a Wareham.
But you're just you're shooting like digitized actors who have just incredibly big, goofy like latex zombie Halloween masks on. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no makeup. It's all like big rubber masks, it feels like. It's very charming.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah. I not that I don't want to buy this from Limited Run Games for $40.
Oh, no.
It's not like that good. You know, it's not like a thing that you want to spend actual money on.
Right.
Really. But it is kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I'm glad it exists. Same thing with like the Night Trap.
Yeah. Remake.
I'm kind of glad that it exists. Like, I'm not the market for like actually playing that game to completion. That's a little bit too annoying to me. Yeah. But I like that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good for it.
Yeah, I'm agreed. Yeah, just if you're in the market for that, they're doing good work.
I admire their spirit.
Yes. Yeah, no, this came to mind because I was just thinking about this. I was first exposed to this at a cousin who had a Sega Saturn, and I really wanted a Sega Saturn. Sure. And, you know, we'd go over and like hang out with him and visit, and this is just one of the games that he had. And I was just enthralled with this, you know, for the usual stuff. Like, it was, I don't know, it was probably like 1995, 96. I'm like 8 years old, and it's like, oh, you're playing a movie. How awesome is that? I have no idea what's going on, but zombies are cool. You know,
it was a weird thing that, for the longest time, that was the best thing that games could aspire to.
I mean,
like full stop,
like up through Heavy Rain, probably.
Yeah. And there's just, you know, degrees of success before we all kind of woke up and realized that sucks.
Yes.
And it's a drum that I beat for a long time, but it does feel like the world has turned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where like now it's like, no, we don't really. Now it's really interesting that the comparisons will go the other way now.
Yeah.
So like now, as opposed to me playing a movie, I will watch a movie and be like, oh, this is a boss fight. This is a chase sequence. This is just so fucking video gamey.
I've not seen the movie, you know? But like after The Northman came out, people saying, oh, it has a Dark Souls boss fight in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's switched over. It's almost like they're the dominant medium.
Mm-hmm.
Has switched over.
Yeah.
It's kind of fascinating to see.
Yeah.
Same thing with the fact that, and I've said this before, is not my observation, but that every single screenshot from Avatar 2 looks like the cover of a graphics card.
Yeah.
indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
It's really funny too, because I think the first time I remember feeling this way about a movie was going to see Van Helsing. Do you remember the Hugh Jackman movie Van Helsing?
I never saw it, but I'm familiar with the
I just remember going to see it. You know, so it was this big hyped up summer blockbuster kind of thing, and it was like watching it, and it was just like they're going through video game levels, and you'll see that, and like yes, you're just observing that they're like, oh, it's like set piece to set piece, but like stuff just does get structured like it's video game levels. You know,
yeah,
it's weird. Like, all right, now we're in the hospital. Now we're, you know, now we're on the runway at the airport. Yeah,
we've hitched our wagon to a winning medium.
I guess
against all odds.
Yeah,
cinema is dying. Long live the video game.
Well, everybody knows that my primary concern is that people respect video games as an art form. I just really need everybody to recognize its legitimacy.
Yeah. You and I are going to hold the next Duck Fest on Ebert's grave. Rave at the grave, we'll call it. Yeah, I don't, obviously I don't care about that, any of that stuff for real.
Fuck it. Yeah.
I do, have you, we might have talked about this before, and this has nothing to do with Corpse Killer.
Okay.
Have you met anyone in real life who likes Avatar?
No.
I don't think anyone has.
No.
It feels like a psyop to me of like reviewers and almost like James Cameron buys all the tickets and then puts mannequins, like puts hey boys in the theater.
Yeah. Personally,
I've never met anyone who I know more people have seen a UFO than say they like Avatar.
I mean, what's a hey boy? Are you talking about a scarecrow?
It's a very funny joke from the Weird Al biopic.
Gotcha.
Which is worth watching, by the way. Like, that bats above its weight class. It's way funnier than it needs to be.
Okay.
There's this running joke about making a hey boy to sneak out, and everyone just talks about hey boys like it's a thing. And it keeps coming up. Like, it's just like, oh no, it's a hey boy. And it's just like a scarecrow that you make of yourself.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty good. Sorry. I have not seen that movie. I do like this conspiracy theory that you have that, that Avatar's success is like Avatar is successful in the way that like a Ben Shapiro book is successful.
Yes.
Like, what's happening is think tanks are buying up all the copies and like giving them out for free, but those sales still count. Yeah.
Or just putting them in a vault.
Yes.
You know, like he's just buying out the theaters or something because it just like. Part of it is just my own biases, but I've never seen a set of movies that look so dog shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Almost like even, you know, we just got recorded Unfilmable before this and like, I can see a movie and even if it's not for me, I can kind of understand it. You know, like somebody will, you know, a new Star Wars thing will come out and I don't like Star Wars, but like, okay, I get what people like about this. Like
there's a putative appeal.
Ships are going to go around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ships are going to run around and blast stuff. And there's nostalgia for it. This is just its own thing he just made up. And it all just looks like absolute trash.
Yeah.
It's like the worst looking characters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks really bad in it.
Yeah.
And then you just read your reviews. They're like, no. It actually looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. I can go online and watch trailers that are showing me the same footage.
Yes.
That they watched that they're saying is good. And I'm like, this looks horrible. It doesn't even feel like a taste thing. It just feels like it feels suspicious to me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to ask you this because I think that somebody's going to come at us hard about it, which is, did you see the original Avatar in a theater in 3D?
No.
Okay. I did. I still think those character designs are ugly. I think that the world and lore that are built up, it's kind of like, every time I hear a new word, it feels like a little kid telling me a story about a dream that he had, you know, and then there is the flower of Patashka. And if you drink that, it makes you one with the tree in order to, and it's like, okay, dude, like, like
it's a weird, like you just going into that, like the hair stood on my arms. Like I was going to stand up. Like, it just like the flower of Patashka makes me one with the tree. Like, no, like it just, I don't know, man. It did not like it. You were gonna talk me into dying like the end of Torment. Like, just through making up strings of bullshit nouns and mysticism.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. It goes beyond just the noun thing. It's just there's so much borrowed importance on it and whatever. I also feel like specifically with, like, I remember with Avatar, like that was around at like a previous time of, you know, at least since 2000, it feels like cinema has been in the process of dying. You know, it's been a real, it's been a real long, slow goodbye on this, you know, on that particular way of enjoying visual media or whatever. And I feel like it came out right around the time that movie theaters were really trying to justify going to a big room full of people to watch a thing at the same time.
Yeah, this is a big 3D. We have to offer you things that
that home can't, right? And so I feel like a lot of the affection for the original Avatar, especially from people whose livelihood was invested in people still continuing to watch and enjoy movies, like this needs to be a cultural event, was a defense of the big spectacle movie that everybody went to see in a theater.
Like, bingo. Like, that's exactly it. That's part of why it feels so suspicious to me, is everyone talking it up has a economic stake in it succeeding. And the thing that those fools will never understand is that they can't, the thing that they can't offer me that I can't get at home is home.
Yeah.
If I like going to the movies. I'll go as a sometimes treat. Even before all this death of cinema discourse came out, I got the sense that I was not going to the movies enough for these people. And I would go like once a month. But in this weird way that I'm like, how am I somehow failing in my duty?
You were
born, you know, like why is this my responsibility?
You were born into an original sin of just like you were born already like just sharing culpability or responsibility for the death of the drive-in.
Yeah. And I love drive-ins.
Yep.
Like, if there were more drive-ins, I would go more, because then you can take a little piece of home with you.
Yeah.
You're in your own car. You're in your own space. You can, you know, I don't have to just like hope that the chairs are comfortable.
Yeah.
And hope that everyone around me doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a bad hope.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a bad bet.
This is me being a caricature of myself, but like anything, literally anything, if anybody is trying to sell it to me and it's going up against home, like, okay, yeah, all that's sounding pretty good, but is home involved?
Yeah.
No,
there's home.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I've got home.
Been home. Yeah. It's really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, I adore home. All my stuff's there. Like, and I can do anything I want there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to wear clothes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pause the thing there. I have control over it there.
Absolutely. And the pause is a big deal.
I love watching movies at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can eat dinner while watching a movie, which I like to do.
Yep.
Like, it's all great.
Yeah.
You know, it's all plus side.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get around that. And like the thing that gets around it is either I really want to see something, which that has lost a lot of power for me. Like the last non-film festival movie I saw in the theater was Nope, I think. Mm-hmm. And I liked Nope a lot. I would have been okay waiting.
Yeah.
I was just eager, you know, and I wanted something to do.
The only thing that got me out to a theater after, COVID and stuff was, there's a one weekend showing of Something in the Dirt movie by my favorite directors, you know, like I had to drive to Columbus to see it. But like, yeah, I'm going to go see that. That feels worth doing. Yeah.
When also you're supporting creators you specifically like.
Yes.
You know, you're not supporting the idea of movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're supporting two guys you like.
We all got to watch Bowl thing if we wanted to take off.
It's just this weird thing where like all the discourse around that has been bothering me, because it's I don't really care that much if theaters themselves die. Like, I like going to the movies, but I would love movies to become a bespoke experience where like you don't go see stuff like Avatar there.
Mm-hmm.
You go see like film festivals and stuff. You go see short films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a place for scrappiness.
Yeah.
It's not a place for like bing bang boom the spectacle stuff, because I think that is not, that has never had less buying power, at least for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I refuse to be guilted about it.
And I'm positive, you know, just while we're talking about stuff that's diagonally related to discourse, I've been avoiding anything about Avatar the Plague because I just don't care. Just don't.
But it's not gonna be good. What are the chances you read the discourse and you're like, oh, hey, that was interesting.
Yeah,
like this was good.
I'm glad.
I'm enriched.
I'm positive that part of it is like, oh, you'll go and like, you know, eat that fucking Marvel slop, but you're not gonna go see Avatar. And it's like, you're holding James fucking Cameron up as the little guy in this.
Yeah.
Like, I've not seen that. I'm literally making up a guy to get angry at, but I would place money. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet you $100 that take exists. Somebody is fighting their Marvel, their Avatar Pokemon against a Marvel Pokemon and trying to make the other person feel like a hypocrite for liking one and not the other.
It's so as somebody who, even with my discourse filters and being off Twitter, that shit leaks in. I haven't had that specific comparison come out, even though James Cameron, in a very cynical way, desperately wants it.
Yes.
Like, he is bringing up in every interview to try to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
He wants it to happen. And it's like, I'm not going to, it's not the kind of thing that would beat me. You know, it doesn't, it's, I'm not
because you can see
the straw man that he's got. It's also, I'm not that invested.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a team. I'm not a partisan about it. And James Cameron, like, who is not only like one, not the little guy, two, though, I think that he doesn't have like that argument comes better out of a Scorsese,
mm-hmm.
who has consistently made things that are at least artful.
Yeah.
I do not think that is true of James Cameron.
No.
He makes things that are worth watching. Mm-hmm. Like, Terminator 2 and Aliens are great movies.
Yes.
They're real old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more than 30 years ago they made those. They're real good, but they're real old. Yeah. Since then, he's done, like, Titanic. Titanic's worth watching. Yeah. But, like, is it more than that? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, somebody who very, very eagerly picked up the torch from Steven Spielberg and was like, picked up the Hollywood, like the summer blockbuster torch from Spielberg and like ran with it, like, does yeah. not get to like turn around and start throwing stones at popular things.
Like, I'm the baby.
Yeah.
You know, you're not baby.
It's you're real. It's you know what it kind of has like the vibe of, like, an old comedian who is just like extremely bitter that nobody laughs at their racist jokes anymore.
It does kind of feel a little bit like that. Yeah. Like, there's all of that discourse drives me nuts a little bit. Like, as somebody who is, like, I haven't gone and seen Black Panther 2. Like, I probably will watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, I do watch those movies, but they're not important to my identity. Part of, but I'm not being controlled by a witch's curse.
Not under a geese.
I'm not under a geese. Like, the way that people talk about those movies is very condescending, as if people are not choosing to watch movies that they want to watch.
Yes.
There is no choice involved. You know, and that stuff, that fucking drives me nuts. It that makes me see red.
Yeah.
When people go on about that, like, it's like, well, it's, that's not happening. Like, I'm not somebody who really goes in for the marketplace, and I don't like economic considerations in the face of art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do think that when you're whining about the economic outcomes of something,
yeah,
like, that is, you have turned the argument towards economic outcomes.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know, people are seeing them because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being forced to. You know, like, yeah. what is this world that, yeah, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino lives in, where it's like, oh no, like, people have to do this,
yeah,
and there's a villain.
Well, and then it also, like, it gets around into a chicken or an egg thing, right? Where, you know, it gets the they would say, like, oh, like, just the everybody's going to see it because it's all that there is. You know, it's, yeah, like, well, okay.
They can stay home.
Yeah. They can stay home. They can watch other thing. And also, like, yeah, I don't know. It's okay. So it's all that there is. What's the step before that? Oh, a bunch of people watched it, so suddenly those became profitable. Like,
yeah,
I am not making an argument. I'm not doing a Worthington's Law thing. You know, oh, more box office equals better than, but it's like,
but more box office does equal more box office.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tautology. Like, it doesn't have to be equals better than.
Yeah.
Like, I recently rewatched, cause I rewatched Goodfellas.
Uh-huh.
You know, and really loved it. And I hadn't seen Casino since it came out. And mm-hmm. I remembered not liking Casino, but I was like, you know what? I'm probably more in the mood for this. And I watch it, and that movie fucking slaps.
Oh, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have every confidence and every agreement with people who are discourse pilled about this,
mm-hmm.
that it is a better movie than, say, oh, I don't know, Avengers 2. Like, it is a better movie. It's a way, yeah, better movie.
Uh-huh.
No argument.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter that it's better because you're confusing an artistic and commercial, yeah, concern. Mm-hmm. It's also a really weird movie. It doesn't really have a plot.
Nope.
It's just a bunch of scenes that happen that are fun to watch.
It's vignettes. Yeah.
It's vignettes. And you can be mad that more people don't like esoteric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not, as somebody who has been like making art, you know, in some way or another for most of my life, like, it's been a lot of bands that played to the sound guy.
Mm-hmm.
That is a non-starter.
Yeah.
You will die before you satisfy that anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is something you have to change. It's, yes, not going to change.
Yeah.
But people are going to like big commercial things, and they're going to pay for those things. And that's just how it's literally always been. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff with Marvel and Disney and Star Wars, you know, big franchise stuff that you can argue about and that you cannot like it, but people are not being cursed to enjoy it. It's extremely condescending to be like, oh, they don't really like it. You know, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, what a horrible thing to say to somebody.
Yeah.
In addition, also, it's not all there is.
Nope.
There's a weird, like, you and I are both horror people, right? Like, horror movie peoples. It's a golden age for horror still. It's
wonderful.
New great horror movies are coming out all the time. Like, what it feels like what people are missing when they're making this argument is stuff like an Avatar. And to me, that just looks like dog shit. It's not because I'm, you know, cursed by a goblin. It's because it looks like dog shit.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. Like, you know, it's spectacle, right? They want different spectacle than what they're getting, you know, from the main supplier. And they can just, regardless of what it is, like, I'm going to be looking at some blue stripy people who are very difficult to look at because of their facial structure. I'm supposed to have empathy by looking at this non-human face. I'm looking at a picture of a fucking Navi, and it's like, I feel good, nothing,
man.
I would watch a Navi being fed slowly feet first into a wood chipper, and it would not raise my pulse a single beat per minute.
You could do to the Navi the same thing that happened to Judge Doom or whatever at the end of Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And just, nothing would happen.
Yeah.
How do you feel for these graphic card monsters? You know, I just can't imagine it. You know, the discourse around that shit, like, it's one of, like, there are many, I've been reflecting on leaving Twitter, you know, and like the main reason was I was spending too much time on it.
Yes.
It was a personal problem.
Inarguable.
The other part is being irritated. Right. And I was trying to think of, like, what were the things that fast tracked me to irritation? And this is one of the discourses that, like, just, I could not handle being around people who are wrong this much, you know, it's like, it just feels like a lot of losing your mind over nothing.
Yeah.
And again, there's this, like, condescension angle that I think is really gross. There's being angry against progress. Like, Star Wars is not the reason why I don't want to leave my house. You know, and I'm real. I'm not being cursed. I'm not being manipulated and not wanting to leave my house. I just like my house. You know, I it's really insulting for somebody to tell you the reason why you want something is fake.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you've been hoodwinked.
Tricked.
You idiot. Yeah. And it's like, no, I just like being at home. I don't want to go to the movies. I'm glad you want to. You should go to the movies. But if more people don't want to go to the movies and it's an economically unsustainable model as it is, that's not my, I'm not failing anything. That's not my responsibility.
I'm not, like, I've got nothing. There is no line connecting. There is no, you know, direct dotted path that goes from me deciding not to see this, and you getting less of something.
Yeah, well, it's not a zero sum game.
Yeah,
like it. I mean, in some ways, it is, but not because of me.
Right,
because that's just, again, it's a box office thing. Is a box office thing. Yeah. It's a tautology.
Cannot
compete with being at home.
Yeah. And if we want to have a discussion about the problems with the studio model and problems with capitalism, there we go. Cool. We can have that conversation all day, but
it's
that's
a
not
much
the conversation.
Bigger conversation than any of this stuff.
Yes. But like, also it's not the conversation that anybody's interested in having. Like, they just hate the symptoms, love the cause. So what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, gets my dander up.
Yeah.
And another thing.
I'm just looking at pictures of these fucking just.
Google image searching Navi is a really bad time.
It's pretty bad. I'm just I feel pretty good about my descriptive abilities. You know, like I can summarize something, and like this image I'm about to send you, it makes me feel something. It makes me, something between complete disdain and like
you're gonna say something between your legs.
No, oh yeah, I mean yeah, so, something.
Like just keep it a mystery, like something's. Yeah, hello.
This Broncos bucking, my friend.
I can hear you knocking.
And just looking at a picture of this Navi lady doing a smile with her. Makes me angry. Why does she have human teeth if they evolved on a planet, like living in perfect harmony with nature? Why do they? Like the design decisions on this, the eyes are so far apart.
But the ears are really lit up on the head. It's got that whole like make up an alien in an unimaginative Star Trek way, like old Star Trek, where it's like what minor tweaks could we make to this Mr. Potato Head?
Yeah,
to like make it a little bit different.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's really ugly. That popped up. I've got a Google image search here for Navis.
Yeah,
and every single thing on the screen looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
Here's Obama as a Navi.
That is a thing that I have seen as well. If you're sending that over, that's cool. But just I've got like here's Tom Cruise as a Navi. Just like people have come up with like a, I don't know if they're doing like an AI filter or something. Just like how to make your Navi Sona, right?
Boy. And again, it might feel a little different if I've met any person in real life who goes to bat for this shit.
That's the thing. This has been two cranky people like being real mad about a movie that they haven't seen. But it,
it's also again though. We're also talking about other stuff too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm gonna take an angry nap.
I'm gonna go. My
dander's up. I'm sleeping.
Oh, I'm gonna sleep so angry.
I'm gonna sleep so fucking pissed. But if people like this show, thank you. I'm so mad.
You can get 2 extra bonus episodes a month by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Get a whole bunch of other bonus stuff as well at that tier. You get Unfilmable, our show about horror movies. You get the full versions of the premium episodes of Watch Out for Fireballs. It's a good time.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
This is the Yule. If you celebrate, Merry Yule to you.
This is
Happy New Year.
It's coming out the day after Christmas. So,
Boxing Day.
Yeah. Canada.
Yes, which places with your servants or whatever. I don't know what they do.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. It's been a wonderful year. We'll be back next year with more. It'd be weird if we didn't. So,
What should they do until next time, Cole?
Well, Gary, until next time, remember, we thrust, you bust.